Let's Talk. I'm Dick Griffith. We're working through 1 John, which is one of the epistles, one of John's letters. There's five chapters in there, and each one of those five chapters has a test of true Christianity, true faith, if you will. Because in chapter 5, and that's where we are this time, he says in 5:13, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. Whoa. You mean I can know that for sure? Isn't that a bit presumptuous? Doesn't that kind of come across as being arrogant and self-righteous and haughty? Well, it depends on your body language, your tone of voice, and the way you're communicating it. But yes, you can know. And wouldn't you like others to know that as well? So this book is written by John, the beloved disciple. A couple things about him that are profound and important. You may know this, but I'll repeat it anyway. All the other disciples, apostles, if you will, the ministers, the messengers of Christ, those 12 were executed. 11 of them were executed, even the new one, Matthias, that was brought on board when Judas committed suicide. They were executed in some horrible ways, almost all of them. And you might say, well, John is fortunate. He got to live on the Isle of Patmos, a little rocky bump in the middle of the Aegean Sea, where he wrote, by the way, under inspiration, the book of Revelation. But what we don't always remember or know, history says that John the Apostle was immersed in boiling oil before he was sent there. That doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun. They all went through suffering. John did die a natural death after Christ revealed to him and showed him all that's going to come in the book of Revelation. So what message would he have for you after going through 90, maybe 95 years of his life? He lived to be fairly elderly. And what message might he have for you? Well, I think at least one is this message that you can know for sure what's going to happen at your death and in the next life. We can know because we are in Christ and he is in us. Via the indwelling Holy Spirit. These things are repeatedly stated throughout the Scripture, particularly in the New Testament, and should be trusted in for your eternal security and your confidence. So let's look at chapter 5, verse 1, and go through 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Well, now that's simple, straightforward. Do you believe it? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Those are your brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's stop there for a second and talk about believe. So the word in Greek that is translated into the English believe doesn't mean quite the same thing as we use it in our day. So you might say, I believe this to be true, or I believe that to be true, or I believe that this is going to happen, or I believe that the sun will come up in the morning because it seems to do that every morning. But when you say I believe in something, somebody else, the way this word is used in our culture, somebody else might say, well, that's fine for you, but I don't believe that. Our culture takes a relativistic view of belief. That's what's true for you may not be true for me. But the Scripture doesn't work that way. The Scripture is absolutist. The Scripture says if it's true, it's absolutely true. So, for example, I'm looking at a chair here across the room, and I believe that I could sit in that chair safely. It would hold my weight, all 215 pounds of it. And it would probably be okay. But I haven't believed that that chair will hold my weight until I get up and I go over and I rest my weight in it. I give my life to it, if you will. Now, that chair might collapse, particularly if I gain weight. But Christ will always be there for you. You can trust in him. He will not leave you or forsake you, as the Scripture teaches. So the phrase I like to use rather than believe is know it to be true, and some object to that. Why, you know it to be true? Are you self-righteous, arrogant, haughty? I hope not. If I am, smack me around, because That's not what the point is. The point is that what God says is true is an absolute truth. And somehow we should be communicating that to the world around us. So let's keep going with chapter 5. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. Remember, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. If the love of God is in us, our heart of hearts, our motive, our inner man, our inner woman, our spirit, if you will, with a lowercase s, our spirit will desire to be obedient. We won't be obedient just to kind of earn His favor. We'll be obedient because He has shown us His favor. The church word for that is mercy, His unmerited favor. And His commandments are not burdensome. Oh, boy, those commandments seem pretty tough. I don't know if I can do that. You may not be able to do it perfectly, but they're not burdensome, it says in verse 3. How can they not be burdensome? That's hard work to try to be perfect. They're not burdensome because He's there with you to help carry those burdens, to help you through them. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Now that's profound. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. The world will not overcome you. You will overcome the world. So you just have to walk by faith and trust in that. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The fact that we're trusting in Him, not trusting in our own self-effort, that we're trusting in Him. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Let me just plug in my phrase there in verse 5. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who knows it to be true that Jesus is the Son of God? I pray that that's you. So let's skip down to verse 10. It's bound to be here. Here we go, verse 10. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony or the witness or the assurance, the evidence, the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar. Now, if God tells you something, you got to know it's true. You can know it to be true. Well, but I don't know for sure if I'm going to heaven. He tells you right here, you can know for sure. Is God a liar? No, He's not. He's perfect and true and divine. Whoever does not believe God and what He has taught you has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning His Son. So God has given us witness of who His Son is and what His Son has done. And these things are true. And if you say, I can't believe for sure, I don't know that, then you haven't read this passage and you haven't incorporated it in your perspective, in your life understanding of what's going on around you. And verse 11 says, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. I wonder how long that lasts. And this is the testimony that God gave us, past tense, eternal life carried on through the future. And this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So if I were to ask you, do you have the Son of God? Well, I'm not sure. Well, then you need to get in touch with somebody that can help you with your assurance. There's all kinds of wise people here at this church, maybe other good churches, Bible-believing churches. You can know for sure. You either have the Son of God or you don't. And so if you do, then these promises are true for you. And you, by faith in who He is and who He was and is to come, that He will love you and take care of you. So ask yourself a final question in your heart of hearts. This is the test. Do you love the Son or not? Do you know it to be true? And do you love Him? And those around you that are seeking but don't know this, don't have confidence in it, don't know how to trust it, need to be shown the way. And my prayer is that you show them that way. I thank you for being with us through this little series, and I pray that this will help your faith grow. So, Father, each one of these that you love, these brothers and these sisters that you love, confirm to them that the truth is absolute, that they can know these things are true. They don't have to doubt them. And let that knowledge and that power and that authority that comes from your indwelling spirit, the spirit that's in the life of believers, change their life, change their wants, change their desires, give them courage to share these truths with the world around them. I thank you for this and for the answer that's already there because your word teaches it. I trust in it in Jesus' name. Amen.